Yeah, we thank God for another good morning. God has given us to listen to His word, and we continue just reflecting on the day of Pentecost. You know, this being the week of Pentecost, the week that we celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, it's good that we continue looking at the events around Pentecost and also what it means to us today. So yesterday we were able to see, you know, the phenomenon of the divided tongues of fire. And this was a supernatural dividing, you know, of fire. You know, they could see it with their eyes, and we were expressing that, you know, the Holy Spirit, He comes, or rather He is expressed in various metaphors. When He came to Jesus, He came as a dove, in the form of a dove. He is also, we see when He comes on the apostles and the disciples, He comes in the form of fire. But we also know that Jesus described the Holy Spirit as the wind. It says those who are born of the Spirit will be like the wind, you know, that you will not know from where it comes from and from where it goes. But this is how those who are born of the Spirit. So, and of course, the Holy Spirit is also described as water. You know, that's why Jesus said that, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, because out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is not a force. You know, some people equate the Holy Spirit to just be a force or a power that they can, you know, that can they can have and run away with. But yet the Holy Spirit is a person. He is Lord. In fact, the Bible tells us the Lord is that Spirit. That means the Lord is that Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Lord. And if we recognize Him as Lord and as King of our lives, if we honor Him as God, if we honor Him, His presence, if we listen to Him. Remember, in the new covenant, in our time, we receive instructions, we receive commandments from the Holy Spirit. We might not have written commandments as is in the time of the law of Moses, but the Bible tells us that He will write His law in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit teaches us to say no to ungodliness and to live self-controlled and upright lives in this present age. So there is a teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit when He says that when He shall come, He shall guide you into all truth. You know, He shall remind you of the things that I have spoken to you. Yes, right now I have much to say to you, but you cannot bear it. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He shall guide you into all truth. That means the Holy Spirit comes as a person. And what we've been able to understand is that He dwells with us. That means He is with us. He is around us. He is our standby. He is our comforter. But He is also in us. That means He comes to give us the life of God, the Zoe, the life of God. He is the one that regenerates us. He gives life to our mortal bodies, to our spirits, to our inner man. He brings us into the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, into that union with the Holy Spirit, that uniqueness of the union of the human spirit and the Spirit of God brings to life the new creature. That's why Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have gone, and behold, all things have become new. And he says, all things are of God. That means that you receive the nature of God. You receive the life of God. You receive the power of God. You receive the presence of God. And when you yield, remember, it's a marriage, it's a union. In the union, there is one party that has to yield, has to submit. Just as Christ is the head of the church, the husband is the head of the wife, then the wife should submit to the husband as the church submits to Christ. So as we submit to the Holy Spirit, then we bear fruit. Think about a marriage or where a woman refuses to, you know, to submit to the husband, or where even like just for the basic thing of intercourse, if there is no willingness to give yourself for intercourse, then there can be no fruit. There can be no child that can come out of that union. You know, there's a case where a woman for 7 years, she has refused to give herself to her husband since they married. And you can see that already, there's no way a child will come forth from that. But if we are to bear fruit in the kingdom of God, there is a yielding of ourselves to the dictates of the Holy Spirit, to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And when the more we submit ourselves to Him as Lord, that what He says must be our commandments. Jesus spoke to His disciples for 40 days. He spoke to them. He gave them commandments through the Holy Spirit. After His resurrection, the Bible tells us He gave them commandments. And that is the same way today. You and I shall receive commandments from the Holy Spirit. It might come in different forms. For one, it might be, you know, because the Holy Spirit knows your areas of weakness. He knows your areas of strength. He knows the things that you need to do for your victory. So He needs your cooperation. He needs your obedience. If you're willing to listen, if you're willing to be guided, then you shall be able to walk in victory. The difference between the believer that is victorious and the one that is not victorious is just in obedience, in your yielding to the Holy Spirit, to His voice. I say the Holy Spirit can ask of you something that is different from another person. Maybe your area is in finances, and the Holy Spirit will be giving you commandments with regards to your giving. He knows your area of weakness is that, and He knows that the answer is in your giving. Maybe for another person, it is in just keeping quiet. There are moments where you really want to speak, but the Holy Spirit tells you, just relax, take it easy. In that moment, you have obeyed. In that moment, you have grown in the things of God. In that moment, you have listened to your Lord and Master. That is how God expects us to interact with the Holy Spirit. We interact with Him as a person. We expect His voice. And He does not speak far from us. He speaks directly to our inner man. You will hear Him as a thought. In fact, there are thoughts that come to you that you know for sure. I was not thinking about it. This song did not come from me, but it came from the Spirit of God. Why? Because He is inside you. He's resident inside you. And when you're relaxed, when you're less worried, when you're asleep, that is when He comes through and he speaks. He gives you guidance. He gives you guidance. I was listening to a testimony of a gentleman who died, you know, and he had gone, entered into a bus. And when he entered into the bus and he sat in front because he's a driver, he says he likes to see the driver. But then he was hearing the voice telling him, no, rise up from this seat, go and sit in the back. Rise up from this seat, go and sit in the back. And he was like, no, he wants to sit in the front. And then a lady came and sat next to him, and immediately he fell down. Fell from the chair and he went down. And when he went down, then people were laughing at him. They thought he was drunk. Then the only thing, he just got up, he just crawled himself, went to the back seat. And that bus entered into a trailer. And everyone on that bus died, including him. But God showed him mercy, because he could, in fact, from the testimony, he was saying that he found himself outside the bus. And he was across the other side. The other people were in the bus on the other side. And people were crying and all that. And for him, he looked okay. But then later on, he sees people removing his body. His body was broken. Then he understood he was dead. You know, and you know, from such testimonies, you can see the difference between the inner man, who is you, who is created in the image of God and likeness of God, and you, the physical man that is down there. So we must never forget what Christ has done. The inner man becomes the one that is united to Christ and is the one that God speaks to and interacts to. And he is the one that either on the final day shall be judged. That inner man is the one that will either go to heaven or hell. That is the inner man that shall receive the judgment. And that's why the Holy Spirit always reminds us to focus not on things earthly that are temporary, but to look at the inner man, to build ourselves in the inner man. And how do you build yourself in the inner man? By praying in tongues, by feeding on scriptures, by partaking of the milk of the Word of God, by being obedient to the commandments of Christ, by being sensitive, by getting rid of everything that contaminates body and spirit. God expects us by obedience to walk in victory. And you see, so the disciples, just going back to our core scripture, the disciples on the day of Pentecost received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them and sat on them. And you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, things that happen are supernatural. God gives you a supernatural side to you. When Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us that Samuel told him, go, you're going to meet these prophets, a band of prophets. They're going to give you bread. They're going to give you wine. And you're going to find them singing. And when you find them singing, the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon you and you shall prophesy. The Bible says, and you shall be turned into another man. It speaks of the newness, the supernatural ability that comes on the believer when the Holy Spirit empowers you. And he was told, whatever you find to do, do it. Whatever your hands find to do it. And let the occasion serve you. That means that you are made ready for whatever capacity that God wants you to do. The Holy Spirit empowers believers as he wills. There are people who are empowered to have prophecy, the gift of prophecy. You know, there are those who can see in the spirit, you know, distinguishing of spirits. There are those who can have the gifts of healing, the gifts of encouragement, the gifts of power, you know, the gifts of signs and wonders. All these are divine empowerments that the Holy Spirit gives to each and every believer, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. And the Bible says he gives them liberally as he sees fit. You know, there are people who try to be what they are not, to be what they were not given. But if you are given as a gift, there are things that will come effortless to you. Why? Because it comes from your spirit. It comes from the Spirit of God. It comes as a gift. It comes as a gift. And that is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes to release the gift on the disciple. And what are the things that makes them do? One of the things that the Holy Spirit enables them when he comes on them is that he gives them the ability to speak in new tongues. And these are tongues that they did not know. These are tongues that they were not taught. It's imagine like right now, they're going to be various classes of French, German, you know, Arabic, whichever you want to learn. But how long does it take for one to learn a new language? They say minimum 3 months at least. I mean, there is a process that it takes to learn a new language for sure. You have to put in the effort. You have to communicate. You have to discuss. You have to, you know, have that one-on-one with a lecturer and all that. And it being the environment that it takes minimum. But in a day, we can see the disciples were able to speak in so many different languages. And what were they saying? They were saying, praise the Lord. They were magnifying the Lord in a language that they did not know. You know, there are those who believe, they are called cessationists. They believe that these giftings of the Holy Spirit ended on the day of Pentecost. But this is not true. Even today, we experience the same. Even today, there is the outpouring of the Spirit today. That even people can speak, not only, remember we said that there are two ways of speaking in tongues here, where you speak in a language that exists on the earth, you don't know it, like what happened on the day of Pentecost, but then there is also where you speak in a language that you itself you don't know and also does not exist on the earth, and this is what we call the heavenly language, and this is where you're speaking directly to God. 1 Corinthians 14, from verse 1 to 5, you can read that, you'll see, he that speaks in another tongue speaks mysteries, he speaks directly to God. So these are two forms of tongues that are available for us as believers. And even the ones of speaking another language that you don't know is real. I remember one of our bishops giving the story of where they had a lady who was from the UK and she could not believe in speaking in tongues. She did not believe it until one day she entered the chapel and she found a very old traditional lady who does not know English was praying in Queen's English. And she could hear the lady, you know, for her, the lady was praying in tongues. But the prayer that she was offering was in Queen's British English. And she knows for sure this lady does not know English. But that was just God's way of revealing to her, you know what? That in any moment, I am still the same, yesterday, today, and forever. When we understand the mysteries of God, when we understand that God is still in the business of revealing himself, God is still in the business of revealing his power, God is still in the business of releasing his glory in our lives, God still wants us to experience the power, the presence, the anointing of God. He is still releasing himself. He says, afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. That means as long as you're a human being, you're a candidate to receive the Holy Spirit, to receive the outpouring. And you can see in a day, languages were spoken. But you see, God is very unique. And if you go back to the mirror, you know, if you go back to the Old Testament, When the people of Enoch, you know, the sons of Cain, when they built the Tower of Babel, and they wanted, they wanted to create a name for themselves, Nimrod and his team, they wanted to create a name for themselves. The Bible says, as they built it, God came down and said and realized that these people, whatever they want to do, nothing will stop them because they are united. Now, those guys, they wanted to make a tower that will enter heaven. And for God to say nothing would have been impossible with them, that means it was something that they did, that they were fusing not only human technology, but also spirit technology. They were being aided by the fallen angels, by the demons. And they had found a way in which they would have actually succeeded. Why? Because heaven is in a spiritual dimension. That is what they wanted to do. And God scatters their language. There is a scattering of language. And when God scatters their language, they are spread out. But now the mirror, the opposite mirror in the New Testament, is that God restores that language. He restores a unity of language. And you can see that people from Cappadocia, from Pontus, from Asia, from Parthians, from Medes, from Elamites, and all over Mesopotamia and Judea, they even Egypt, you know, when they say even people from Africa, even parts of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, all converts, proselytes, they had the disciples speaking in their own tongues. And the disciples were declaring the wonders of God. In the Old Testament, language was scattered. In the New Testament, God reunited language. He knew that if these believers who have come from all these places on the day of Pentecost to celebrate the festival of Pentecost, if they can hear of this move of God, then this move of God can spread back. You know, God was very strategic in when he allowed Christ to come. When he says the fullness of time, I mean, even historically, you can see it was a time when Rome was in control. It is a time when the Romans had built roads that connected their whole world at that time. You know, they had made, what is it called, roads that are paved. That means they had put stones. They had made roads that people could move. There was ease of movement and trade. Beyond that also, there was one common language, the Greek. Greek was spoken by everyone in that time. So God knew that this is a time to spread the gospel. Let the gospel be spread. And he ensures that people from all these places are in Jerusalem at the same time. And that is a time where he wants his glory to be manifested. He wants the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And these people can go out with a witness that something marvelous has taken place. And that is why the gospel was preached. And you see, when they say, nah, these guys are full of new wine. They are full of new wine. Yes, that was their thinking. But Peter stands up boldness. This is the Peter who was a coward. This is the Peter who hid, you know, who denied Jesus 3 times, who followed him from a distance. He maintained the gap. But now he is restored. He stands up boldly. And that is the other aspect that the Holy Spirit gives us. He gives you boldness to declare the truth of the gospel. boldness, a certain courage comes on you. Yes, there's the supernatural things you can see, the multiplication of language, the learning of new language. You know, glossolalia is how the Greek puts it. There is the release of tongues. But then there is a boldness that comes, and Peter stands up to preach. And he declares, men of Israel, these men are not drunk as you think. And you can see he now has exposition of the scripture. You know, that's the other thing that the Holy Spirit does. He opens up the scriptures to you. Do you think Peter was reading at that time Joel? No. It's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel in Joel chapter 2 from verse 27. That, and afterwards I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. There is the Holy Spirit, as we see him, he empowers you. He opens your eyes, your spiritual ears. You can see the kingdom of God. Then he gives the gift. He gave them the gift of speaking in tongues. Then he released the boldness. You can see they are able to preach. And then beyond that, he opens up the scriptures to them. And Peter is able to prophesy. He's able to connect Joel to what is happening and to preach boldly. And you can see he's an effective witness, because the Bible tells us that day 3,000 persons come to Christ and are added to their number and are baptized. This is what the Holy Spirit with us, working with us, working through us, empowering us, and us submitting ourselves to him, gives us amazing exponential results. We can walk in those results. Men will think we are drunk. Men will think we are stupid. Men will call us names. But we ourselves, we know the results of what the Holy Spirit has accomplished in our lives. May God help us to have understanding in all this. I'll stop here, and may God give us insight. Welcome, my brother. You're welcome.
Thank you, Doctor. I need submission to the Holy Spirit to speak. But as you're preaching this same thing, I mean, the issue of familiar spirits.
Mm.
And those not all small voices that whisper from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, true.
And it takes some level of discernment to want to know what is from the Holy Spirit and what is from the familiar spirit.
Mm.
And so I think often as Christians, we tend to meddle in situations where we have already made up our mind before consulting the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Then to listen to what we want to listen to. That's when the enemy traps us.
Yeah.
Because we already have a preconceived notion of something.
Mm.
Then go to the Holy Spirit and say to God at that prayer. But we already know deep down we have what we want.
Yeah.
And the enemy just whispers, majorly if it is a trap, it is something that he knows will bring danger to you.
Mm.
Once it is whispered, you've heard of the funny story though. Women who are saying, the Holy Spirit has told me you're my husband. But the husband is a married husband.
True.
You know, so people wonder what exactly is that? Onye, who started the rebel group in Uganda, said he told that he was supposed to restore the country and Ten Commandments. So you find that the familiar spirits are out there that are also misleading many Christians. I think we just need to pray for grace to be able to discern the true voice, the false voices. Yeah, that's okay.
Amen. Very true. Discernment. And God gives us discernment. You know, you shall know the truth. I think that's the foundation. If to the pure all things are pure, you know, when your system is corrupted, when your nature is corrupted, then you give liberty to all these scheming spirits and lying spirits to work. But when you are in the light and you're living in the light and you're on the word of God, you will know that this is not a speaking from the Holy Spirit. This is a speaking from the devil. You know, the whispers of the devil, the whispers of the snake. So it's really by you staying with God. When you stay with him, you shall know him. The world does not know him because the world can neither see him nor can it receive him. But we have the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will guide us. He will, you know, you will know. That's that. There's no other way you can say it. It's just like when someone asks you, how did you know this was your wife, that you are to marry this person? You'll just say, you know, I knew it. You know it, right? You knew it, this was your wife. That's it. It's there's a knowing that the Holy Spirit gives us, and that knowing is there to direct our steps. And I pray that we continue to be sensitive and submitting and yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise your name. We worship you, God. We give you glory. Thank you for your love, your power, and your presence, your grace of our lives. You have kept us. You have watched over our lives. You've been our shield, our portion, our all in all. We trust in your promises. They are yes and amen. Thank you for your spirit, that we can trust in your presence, in your spirit. We can trust in you to lead us, to direct us, to show us the way, to empower us, to give us boldness, to release the gifts in our lives, to enable us to be effective witnesses for your glory. May your name be praised. May your name be worshipped. May your name be glorified. I thank you for who you are. You're worthy, you're faithful, and there's no one else like you, God. Blessed Redeemer, guide our steps, watch over us, be with us, and strengthen us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.